like, oh, $60, maybe I'll show my dick.
Welcome to another Latino with a podcast. I'm the Latino with a podcast, Christian Hennigsmeyer, and today I'm with Big Pandia, who is the gayest person I have had on the podcast. And last episode was the Queenie Beach, and you are even.
But
he's one of my favorite This is one of my favorite comics that has an OnlyFans.
Yeah, there you go.
So no, for the reasons you think. Like, I want to know how that happened. You just got an email from OnlyFans like, hey, do you want to create content for us? And you're like, what?
Yeah, it was a little... OnlyFans basically started getting into other types of content. They have a huge subscriber base. So yeah, they're like, how do we monetize this further? And also rebrand a little bit because they're known for what they're known for, right?
I don't know what they're known for.
You don't know what they're known for yet? You never subscribed?
No, yeah, what is that?
I feel like we're in a basement right now because you spent a lot of money on OnlyFans.
Yeah, like the property taxes are going to get me unsubscribed.
Yeah,
like, from
yeah. Honestly, this looks like this could be a studio. You got the green screen. You got everything here.
You know, I should get these girls here and be like, hey, I take the picture now. Give me a cut. Give me a cut.
Give
me
10%. So basically, they have like cooking shows. They have OnlyFans TV, which is like Apple TV, but they have all the different channels on there, right?
I don't call it TV. I just get pictures.
You get pictures. Instagram is what you call it. So because of that, they're like, how do we, you know, we're going to start getting into comedy. So they started producing stand-up showcases, like short 10-minute sets, kind of like Don't Tell comedy, essentially. Okay. Super well-produced, very like high-budget, like Netflix-level shoots. And so they go to each city. They go to like all the major comedy cities, and they pick like 10 people to do the showcase. And a guy who works for OnlyFans saw me at a Don't Tell Chicago show and was like, hey, we're doing this filming next week. It was really that fast. And he's like, you want to do it? And I go, yeah. I'm like, is there space available? I'd love to do it. He goes, yeah. So he just sent an email, and then I got in. So it
was like Matt at OnlyFans.com.
Literally.
And you're like, okay.
Literally. But he like introduced himself live at the show.
Okay.
Because so I got an email just from OnlyFans. I'm like, all right, what is this? But you do have to create an OnlyFans to do to get paid. I'm just posting stand-up on there. I'm not posting anything exciting. People are so disappointed when I'm like, I got OnlyFans. I'm like, it's just my same jokes, you know?
But what if you start putting pictures? And then you have like brackets?
So,
like,
yes, what's
weird. I've been told.
Oh, you know more about this platform than you.
I've been told. You have like brackets.
What's weird though is like, you know, part of the requirements.
You should do only like one of the brackets is like you the same jokes, but it's you without a shirt.
Yeah,
that's it.
Yeah,
that's the only thing.
Exactly. I mean, there are people who are doing stuff like that. All the women who did it got like a lot more followers, but you get an initial bump when the special comes out, right? All the people follow you. So now it's like, how do I use that subscriber base? And I was like, let me post like certain content that's more like uncensored than I would post.
Okay.
And I mean like joke wise. But people will respond to your joke.
Yeah,
they'll respond in the DM like, hey man, like $50 for like a picture of your feet? And you're like, oh shit, like I don't know. Like it's a weird, it just like opens another level.
I usually charge 20, but
yeah, so it's like I had a pretty strict line of like, I don't want to cross this boundary yet.
What is your line?
I mean, I just wouldn't
send. He said yet. So
yeah.
People who are watching this and they want.
Well, it's also
big.
If you, I think I'm just getting under. People are like, hey, $50. I'm like, dude, this tit pic is worth at least $100. All right, like send me a higher amount of money. So no one's offered me enough for me to actually seriously consider anything. But hey, offer me enough. Put a number out there. We'll see. You know?
Tomorrow you just got a new subscriber, like Christian, like Christian Hemmings. Like, no, that's not me. Like,
that's not
hey,
you, that's my cousin.
55.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay, like, we can.
It is weird because you do get to like really find out what you're worth. I mean, you're putting a value on you. It is kind of weird. You're like, oh, $60. Maybe I'll show my dick. But you know, you're like, it's just so weird.
But what if at some point it's like, hey, $50, and you're like, oh, one of these guys for a joke, and you're like, hey. I like this more. Like,
that is, well, that thing that another thing that came out of this is.
What if you write a one-liner on your dick and that's.
Well, that's a lot of my content anyway. but what's cool about it is something that came from the special. I used to do a joke about like Hims and Blue Chew.
Okay.
I started the joke with Hims, which is this erectile dysfunction medication, right? And then someone saw that, this guy who works at OnlyFans, and he's like, if you change that to Blue Chew, he's like, I know people at Blue Chew. I'll put you in touch with their VP of marketing. And So I changed the joke for the special, changed it to Blue Chew instead of Hims. Same punchline, everything works. Sent it to Blue Chew. Blue Chew licensed the joke. So now I have a joke that I've sold to Blue Chew.
Dude, that's fucking
shit like that. Like, you're like, oh, this is kind of cool. Like, this is how you make money off, like, branding and content and stuff. And I didn't have to do anything. I just changed the joke a little bit, but not really. Like, it's the same. It's still.
Yeah, it's the same joke. It's just different brand.
Yeah, it's just a different brand, literally.
Hims being like, I thought he liked
it. Yeah, exactly. But I was like, hey, what Hims happened? Didn't put up to Hims and it wasn't interested. So, but I had no idea like that stuff like that came out of this, which is what's cool about what I do like about these things like OnlyFans, Don't Tell. There's like all these crossover collaborations that are happening.
Yeah, I like the Don't Tell with Dr. Swatch.
Yes, yes.
Dude, I love that soap. I want to be in Don't Tell also. So like,
he also wants someone to sponsor the podcast.
Yeah, I'm going to be an OnlyFans too. Like whatever you need, okay? Like, but I'm not that big. I'm like, give me 50. I'll send you a dick pic. And, there's not a space for my jokes in there, but we can figure it out. I always bring some like, I bring you cookies and
I appreciate
stuff.
This is great.
I was like, maybe he's on a diet, he's not gonna take anything, but whatever. Because he's, you know, your shape because you're on OnlyFans.
I was, to be clear, I was in shape before OnlyFans. I want that to be known. No, I think it's funny.
And now you're more in shape.
Yeah, now I'm like just flexing all the time on camera, wearing t-shirts. You
has
know?
It happened to you that just the joke being flexing? I always bring some topics that I want to talk about because I saw this video. It was trending because one guy in a restaurant bought a bottle of champagne.
Okay.
And I like the premise of the video because it's like, oh my God, he bought he thought the bottle was $26,000. And that's why he bought it. Mm-hmm. But it actually was like $260,000 for the bottle. And I was like, I cannot even do the 26,000. Like,
yeah,
you can take more. I cannot do the 260. Forget the K. Like, but he was like, they were like all in shock, like with the waiter being like, no, it's.
Oh, so it was at a restaurant.
It's at a restaurant. Yeah. And the waiter was like, no, the bottle was.
Did they already pay? They already drank it?
Yeah.
Oh, so you had to pay $260,000.
And they were like, what the fuck?
Well, what happens then? Did he have
I don't know. The video ends there. And I was like, my follow up is like, I don't understand why some liquors do your.
I like how you're asking. Like, let me save the money questions for when Vic gets on the podcast.
On the podcast.
He's got an OnlyFans. He's
the
making,
OnlyFans.
He's making $8 to $12 a month. Let's get him on here.
He has a podcast now. Like, come on. Like, he know. Like, but I believe you're a refined person. Like,
thank you.
Every time I have seen you, like, you're always like, you're the person that I think when the dress for the work you want, not the work you have.
The job, dress for the job you want, not the.
And it's like you're always dressed like you already have like 3 Netflix specials. And you're fucking making it.
Fake it till you make it is the.
And I like with my sweater from the podcast, like, hey. But he's always on point. Is you cannot see, but his shoes are fucking pretty nice. But I believe you know yourself and you really like to enjoy like nice things.
Yeah.
Have you enjoyed like a nice, like, expensive liquor?
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of been was a little bit of a problem for a while, where I was like,
My dad hit me.
Yeah, well, I just would spend, you know, when you look at your, like, monthly budget, and you're like, I'm spending so much on food and liquor, like, every month, and it's because I like, my girlfriend and I like to go to, like, you know, she's ex-industry, so we like to go to, like, cool bars, lounges, restaurants, and we like talk to people there, we make friends, so it's kind of like a culture thing. It's like after a show it's nice to go get a drink somewhere. But when you start doing that, you're like, I'm just spending tons of money on this shit, you know. And I was also I'm really into whiskey and bourbon, so for a while I was buying bottles of bourbon just like monthly, just to like keep a collection. And
but I believe that's good, but do you believe there's actually a real difference between a $1,000 brandy and a like 200.
I think after there's a fall off point. Like, so after like maybe $100 for most liquors, there's like, it's becomes almost indistinguishable, right? Like, if you're going to spend $100 on a bottle of whiskey, you can get a really good bottle of whiskey. If you're going to spend $500, you can get a fantastic bottle. But the change from that $100 to $500 is like, unless you're like someone who's like a savant or like someone who's like really into it, you're not going to really appreciate
it. And there's one that the way they make expensive if they change the bottle.
Like, yes,
I found out that this is the most expensive liqueur. It's a limoncello. That limoncello is like actually, it's actually and not that expensive.
No,
drink.
Limoncello is like pretty. It's like a pretty cheap. Like,
you want to try to guess how much is it?
Probably what, like $80,000 or something.
No, go. Try.
250,000.
No.
500,000.
No.
A million. More?
$44 million. What the, for a bottle of limoncello. It's called D'Amalfi. Like,
why? It's just adorn with diamonds. The bottle is also.
It's a bottle. Yeah, yeah. But it's like, I'd rather spend 500 and get wasted.
If you're in the market for this type of liquor, like, that is not a lot of money.
If someone sends you, you know, one bottle of that for dick pics.
Yeah, I mean, then I'll be your slave. I don't care at that point, you know, because that's the thing.
Would resell it or you would drink it? I'll resell it. That's it.
I would probably resell it. I mean, I don't know if I love limoncello that much, but it's also
yeah,
like,
for 44.
If I was rich enough, I'd just keep it as like a collectible. But people now, like, it's really nice because I talk about like whiskey and stuff enough that sometimes at shows, like, people bring me a bottle. Like, I was just at the DC Improv and I went to this. They have a whiskey bar there,
okay,
called Jack Rose. It's like one of my favorite bars in DC. And they have like 400, 500 bottles of whiskey. It's a crazy. They have a book, so you can get their like select stuff. Met this really cool bartender there. He comes to the show a couple days later, brings me like a flask of like super rare spirit that he just, okay, like, he's like, here, this is, just take it. And it's like one of those things that's like, you know, you have an interest in something and people are aware of it and then they bring it to you. So it's like, it's a nice fun little thing, you know. I was like, hey, let me get you tickets. He got the bottle. So it becomes this thing of like, you have these people all over the country,
yeah, that
understand like what you like. And
I believe you're a, like, correct me if I'm wrong, but you look like a bourbon, like classic old fashioned guy.
Yeah, I mean, I typically just do whiskey neat, but I've been doing.
What's your favorite whiskey?
Manhattans lately, which are really.
But the brand.
The brand I like a lot. For whiskey, I like.
I love Buffalo Trace. Buffalo.
Yeah,
Trace,
Buffalo Trace good. Makes like Eagle Rare. Like, that's one of my favorites. They're all under the same thing, like Blanton's. You know, these are all bourbons that are made from Buffalo.
So
Trace.
If you see this. He's going to put it on OnlyFans, the yeah. pick with the bottle of Buffalo Trace. But
if you send me a bottle of Blanton's, I might send some back. Yeah,
send
yeah.
dick pics. But I don't understand the difference on prices. Like, I'd rather, like, maybe it's like having the money. I've seen videos of people that buy, like, obviously rich people. They are in a party, in a disco, and they buy, like, a $3,000 champagne to open it and drop
pour
it on the
yeah.
floor.
Yeah.
And they drop it on over their watches. That is like always like Rolex and shit like that.
Yeah, yeah.
And I just watched that. Is that
you've seen a rap video? Is what you're saying?
Yeah. So I was Nicki Minaj feed.
Yeah.
But no, like I don't understand. Like, you get to that point that you have that
it's,
much money
it's,
that
it's
you're like, let me just waste
fuck
it.
Fuck you, money. That's what they call it. Fuck you, money. You're like, I don't care.
Yeah, it's fuck you, money when you get a yeah. lot of money. No,
it's also things like people do with
poor
cars.
People are not like fuck you, money.
Yeah.
they just dump in the Dunkin' Donuts coffee, like.
Yeah, you could. That'd be a funny sketch. You're like doing like a Dollar Tree, and you're just buying everything. You know.
You just come out with, you know, the picture of like people shopping that is like a lot of bags. It's a lot of Dollar Tree
yeah,
bags.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
you know,
yeah. No, I try to. I mean, I've tried to get a little better about it. Like, now, I'm someone who'd rather go to more, like, a higher quality place just less frequently. Like, I don't need to go to the bar every day, but if I go to a bar or I go to a lounge or something, I want it to be a really, like, one that I really enjoy so I can maximize. I'd rather, like, wait and do that. So I was getting to a point here. My favorite bar in Chicago is a bar called After, and it's attached to a Michelin rated restaurant. So
okay.
it's like it's a very high end lounge. And I was like, oh, let me go like once. It was like a treat. I was like, let's go like once a month. And then I started going like once a week. And then I started going like twice a week. And I was like, now I'm spending $200 a week here. So I was like, this is not like a rent item. Like, it's
then
like
you start
item.
AA.
Yeah, then I'm in rehab, you know. So it's like one of those things you have to be careful. You can't just like, everything's habit. Like, I'm such a disciplined habit person that I'm like, I have to allocate time to everything that I'm like, I don't want to do. I can't do this degree. Otherwise, I'm going to be broke, A. But also, it's like, it's not good to just drink like 100 proof whiskey every day. Like, it's not good for your body, you know?
Yeah, no.
So
for your liver.
Yeah, I've
good.
Tried to put some restrictions on it just because, like, you know, you're touring, you're running around doing comedy, like, you're tired. You have to be able to, like, rest and rejuvenate and stuff. And
yeah,
if you're hungover all the time.
Like, I like to feel tired, okay? As a comic, I love that. Like,
yeah.
I know there's a struggle. Like, Do you feel the difference between, and with this we're going to end this part of the podcast, with this question, like, do you feel there's a big difference between when you were more local that now you're like touring?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, I feel it's good and bad. I mean, obviously you're reaching new people, new markets, new fans, that's the goal. But the downside is you feel a little less connected to the scene here, right? Like, I don't know who, like, the up-and-coming guys are anymore or girls are. Like, I'm a little more detached from the scene here now. Like, I used to be every showcase, every day. Like, I'm doing all the shows, all the spots. Now I'm like, I'll do a couple shows, 3-4 shows a week when I'm here. Then I'm gone. So, like, when I come back, it's like a whole new crop of people, it feels like.
Yeah, money-wise, it's better. They pay better outside because the fewer times I've been outside Chicago, usually they pay a lot better than in Chicago.
Yeah, well, it's also like, it depends what you're doing, but if you're headlining, you can't just keep headlining every week in Chicago, right? Like, a club is not going to headline you every week. So you travel, you tour, because other places will headline you. And then the money goes up and everything goes up.
You're just working as a comic now, right?
Full-time, yeah, full-time comic.
That's beautiful. That's the dream. That's the dream.
Did it. Yeah, I saw an episode of the podcast earlier. You're like, that's what I want to be able to do. You're like, just make a full-time.
And you're like, no.
No, but it is also it like... Is.
I say 40K and John
said
Joe was like, no.
No, I mean, that's what people don't realize. Like, every time you move up in comedy, you have like a new goal, like a new... Because then you see the new crop of people at that level, and you're like, I want what they have. But you forget, it's also important to be like, look back and be like, what have I achieved? And I did the thing. It's like I got to a point where I can pay my rent through jokes. So I was like, that's all I wanted to do.
Through jokes and dick pics.
And yeah, I also, of course, mainly dick pics. It's
not some jokes. And blue shoe. Like, every time they have to have like this, like every time you say the joke, you have like a revenue or the joke.
No, they basically just like bought it for like 2 years license, so they can use it however they want. Okay, but it's still a time limit. So after 2 years, they'll have to like either pay me again to use it or whatever. But I haven't really seen him use it. So.
I mean, I hope in 2 years you have a better joke about blue shoes.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
you got a better joke about him.
Well, I hope. I mean, the thing is, I was like, I kind of don't want the music because if they tag me, they're like, oh, does he need it? Yeah, I was like, I don't necessarily want that.
This guy talks so much. Yeah,
he's got 14 minutes on blue shoe. You know.
What is happening here?
I'm like, no, you don't understand. They're paying me, so I'm gonna keep faking it.
But you have it. You're like, no.
It's just for the money, you know.
And blue shoe watching is like, we thought you had it.
Yeah.
But with this, we're going to end this part, but we're going to continue after this pause. And we are back. He does have dysfunctional erectile dysfunction. Yeah, but we found out about that. We have the green screen. We were doing content for OnlyFans. And yeah, you're going to have a soft picture, but it's a dick pic. But that doesn't happen. Like,
I have a new joke about that where I'm like, my girlfriend will send me like a tit pic, and you know, that's like, for a woman, you can just send it without doing anything. For a man, we have to do an extra step.
Yeah,
you can't send no one wants a soft dick pic. First of all, no one really wants a dick pic, let's be honest. But if you're gonna send one, you gotta be ready, you know. So the whole joke is, I'm like, I can't just like, what am I gonna just get, like, it's just a weird, it's like you have to get in the thing. So I'm like, I should actually end the joke. I'm like, I'm just gonna call her. That's kind of funny.
Let's just
actually
talk. Like,
let's just talk. Yeah, yeah. I just called her.
This is something that I like about like male anatomy. That is that I believe women, they, when they're younger, like they change together. They know about the body of their friends, so they know like the different type of maybe tits and like anatomy of it. But guys don't do that. So there's a lot of guys that don't know there's like a blood dicks, and is that the grower not a shower, and the
you mean like the different types of
but I didn't know that until I was like 20. It's like, wait, you mean like some people just have it the whole way,
yeah,
but just down anyway.
It's so funny. You should do this on stage. It's pretty funny.
What do you mean?
Saying like, the whole way is very funny way to say.
So they have like,
yeah,
just like sleep and it wakes up. Like, I'm a grower, not a shower. But since like we don't know that, at least some women don't know that. And maybe if they don't see me when I'm excited, they're like, he has a super small dick.
They're like, no, no, actually, just give me a few minutes. Like, let me,
Wait. This was not the peak I was going to.
Well, that's another reason. Like, yeah, it's not a representation. It's like, it's kind of like comedy. You don't want to put a joke that's not finished out there. You're like, that's not a representation of who I am. You're like, I don't want my not full dick out there, you know? Like, it's not really what I'm about. Yeah. So same.
Someone give you the light.
Yeah.
while you are masturbating, someone's like, you're like, okay, 1 minute. Okay. I've read more topics. Now that we're talking about, do you want to talk about gamers or
gamers
or gays? No. Yeah. No. The other topic. I'm gonna go with this one because you're a person who I believe likes to spend his money on himself, which is good. I just thought about we're living in stressful times, and there's a lot of way. I was looking through a lot of ways of getting relaxed. One is jerk off on OnlyFans, but I want to find out like what kind of person you are to have a really detox of stress. Like I grow some of like the ones I know like that are super different. Like there's people who go to a massage.
Yeah, like self-care stuff. You mean?
Yeah, there's people who go to a massage with happy ending, which is a little different. There's like puppy rooms, like this room that you lay on the floor. They
I would
open
love to
the
do
door.
That. I would love
and there's
to
a
that.
Lot of dogs
on top of you, running all over you. I saw an Instagram clip. It was a island of dogs that it's just hundreds of dogs on this island that you just go there and they just like drop you off and you're just running around.
There's one that obviously is not in the city. It's like in one of these states that is like mostly farms.
Yeah.
They have like cow therapy, and you just cuddles with cows.
Yeah,
it's $20, but
animals.
Dude,
I mean,
pay that.
I kind of the cheap version of this is my parents live outside Chicago in a suburb.
Okay.
So during the pandemic, I was mostly there, right? Just like nothing going on in Chicago, so it kind of felt like I was in high school again. I like went back home.
Okay.
And then they adopted a dog, and we kind of like all raised this dog. So I'm very attached to the dog, even though he lives there. So a lot of times, like, I'll go back and just, like, play with the dog. Because it's nice to, like, feel like, oh, this is just, like, a thing that loves me unconditionally, and I don't have to do anything. It's just easy, you know?
Do you imagine dogs start loving us conditionally?
That'd be so funny.
Dogs is like,
look at you like, where the fuck you been? You're like, hey, come on, man. Like, I'm feeding you, right?
We have a dog. That dog is like that.
That
like,
dog hates me, yeah.
No. that's my roommate's dog. Every time my roommate, like, that dog doesn't like me that much. It's really hard for me to go closer to the dog.
Yeah, it has anxiety though. That's
it
just
has
a,
anxiety.
Yeah.
Doesn't like to be like hold on. But every time my roommate is like grounds her for whatever, like she pee on his bedroom or whatever, and he's like, hey, like Estrella, she runs to my door to my bedroom, and she just stays in my bed, and he just goes like, oh, now you like
now
him.
You like
now
him, yeah.
You like him.
Yeah.
She loved me conditionally.
That's kind of when he's mad at her, she loves you.
She's like, okay, like, I'll stay here. Like, but
that's a big one. So I like that. I just like, I think animal, like, it's good to have a dog or some animal. It's good to, like, love something that is, it teaches you how to be more emotional. I really believe that. But I also do a lot of, like, the main thing I do is, like, I work out pretty much every day, and
that's my stress
relief. I also try to meditate almost every day before I go to sleep. Those two things keep me kind of, like, level and keep me in, like, a mental good headspace. So those are the main two things I do. Drinking, you know, you got to parse it out, but, like, drinking can be, if you do it responsibly.
Yeah, like, I really put it, like, drink. I put vacations.
Yeah, but, like, you have, like, a drink and you kind of, like, enjoy your day, like, don't, like, black out, but if you know you have a couple drinks and you kind of, like, chill, like, end of the night type stuff, like, that is also helpful. So a mix of everything, but the main things I do every day, it's, like, I work out and I meditate pretty much every day, and the gym I go to now has a steam room, so I'm trying to steam once or twice a week too, to like really, but it's just like, it depends on my schedule if I can make there.
Have you been in the steam room and there's like old guy naked? Because they
no,
love,
I,
they
I know,
love that.
I, that's what I, it's funny because the one I go to is like, I go during like comedian times, so there's like no one there, you know, because like people go morning after work and I'm like there at like noon or like one or something.
Dude, I don't know, do you think that's gonna happen to you? Because there is all the
well
old,
I'm a little offended it hasn't
guys.
Happened yet, because I'm like, hey, I'm on OnlyFans, dude, you can monetize this.
Dude,
you know,
all these guys always go into the steam room, they get butt naked, and they like that shit like hot. Like I was one, this was back in Minnesota, it was like my three friends and we were in a club or something. We played soccer, and after soccer, we went to the steam room. We were enjoying our time, just chilling there. And then this old guy, just fucking naked, just sat down, start shaving.
That's crazy. Shave naked in a steam room. That's so many things that you're not supposed to do together.
And
that's
keep putting
crazy.
I keep putting more water to the shit to
get
to get
hotter.
To hotter. And we were like, we need to leave.
Yeah. The thing is, this one is like, I think most people are like, it's like an etiquette, I feel like, at this one. It's not like, I've gone with, I don't know if you have Sohrab on before.
No.
He, very funny comedian here. He goes to this place called, it's like a, I forgot what it's called, but it's this place that's basically like a Russian bathhouse situation. It's like Eastern European.
Ruslan is always
people
there.
I mean, it's like stripped down. It's very fun, but people there are just doing, people are just naked, walking around, hanging out. But it's like, it's authentic experience. There's like a cafe in there. So we had like, he was giving out orange slices to everyone naked in the steam room. I was like, what are you doing? He's like he's the mayor of that place. Yeah.
Like going to the steam room with an orange. Like,
hey. Crazy. And people, everyone, we're all just sitting there, standing there naked, having oranges. And
finally,
like,
someone offering or slices of orange. That would be a nice, like, a Venezuelan kid just selling candy.
Yeah, yeah. Kid selling
candy in the steam room.
Selling vegetables. Yeah.
The one I type is like, there's like rage rooms. Have you tried those?
What are they called?
Rage rooms that they just equip you with helmets and shit. And
oh, rage. I thought you said race rooms. And I was like,
yeah, that's
I was like, I like that. Segregate. That's what I want.
It's like the puppy
room. Keep them separate. Yeah,
it's
yeah.
like the puppy room. You just put on the floor and black people come and tickle you.
That is terrible.
Not terrible. They can make you relax.
Rage room. That's another thing I do want to do, because I feel like when I was a kid, I would enjoy, like, it's fun to, like, break shit. It is fun to, like, smash stuff. And as an adult, you never do that. So I think that's how the concept came about, right? I would love to do that. But I think, like, there's probably, it just seems like a lot to, like, make an appointment. You know, like, I think if I, like, if I was, like, walking and I just saw one, like, it's just weird to be like, oh, I got my rage appointment at 1.
Yeah. Like, I got to be crushing a TV in 20 minutes. Yeah. Can we wrap
it's
it
one
up?
Of those, it's one of those things where, like, there's so many things that fall in this category. If someone gave me free tickets to go do that, I would do it. But it's one of those things, like, it would take a lot for me to do it on my own.
But,
you know?
But it's weird because I, at some point, I had a joke. I believe you can schedule your emotions.
Mm.
And my joke was about when you are super sad and depressed and you want to cry, you're going to let it out. Like, you can delay that crying.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah,
if
yeah.
you get, like but the joke was like, you get to a point that it's like you're about to cry, and maybe you're like just before a comedy show, something happened, and you're like, no.
No, I do cry before every set.
before and after.
And after a lot, yeah. And after quite a bit.
But let's say you already cried. You don't want to cry again. But you can delay that. You can be like, no. I hold it. When I get home, I'm going to fucking cry in the shower.
Well, and kind of in the comedy analogy, like, I do think a lot of comedy is like learning how to compartmentalize. Because how many times have you done a set where you're like, I'm not in the right headspace for this set, but I have to just do it. So before the show, you have to get into a point of like neutral or like upbeat or whatever method you need to be in the
what
headspace.
Do you do? What
I think I've done stand-up so much that I've learned how to, like, my body will naturally, like 20 minutes before I have to go on stage or 10 minutes or maybe right before even, I will like calm myself and I will kind of center. And that is kind of like the superpower you have as a comedian, is the longer you do stand up, the faster that gets. Like, you can enter that state.
Yeah, I need
quicker.
To walk a little bit, like, just going through my jokes. And I remember
everyone has their own process.
Yeah,
right?
I remember I have one joke. It was in New York. This was it was an amazing show. It's called Tap. It's not in New York City. It's in New York Middletown.
Okay.
I didn't know that when they booked me. So when I found out, it was like,
yeah, far.
2 hours away.
Far away.
I was like, shit. But it was an amazing show. The producer is named Skid. Amazing guy. If you can get into that show, like, you will enjoy it. It's a really nice place. But I went there, and I remember I went with some friends, and it was like 20 minutes before the show started, and I was like, I need to leave.
Yeah,
and
I just left them.
I just left them for like 20 minutes. Just like to walk and be okay, this goes first. After this is the connection.
You go over your set.
And they're like, what the fuck is happening?
And some people, I mean, I'm always someone who likes the peace and quiet before the show. So if it's like I'm headlining a show and there's like 10 people in the green room, I'm like, 10 minutes before the show, I was like, you gotta get that. Or be quiet.
Yeah.
Like, either leave or, because a lot of people will just like want to hang out and chat. I'm like, let's chat after. Let's do that after.
I have one friend, I gotta go walk and go, like, because I don't like when people are like, oh, what was I talking about? And they look at the...
Yeah.
I like to have all my jokes kind of connected.
You want to look like you prepared a little bit.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I go through the set ways.
Yeah.
And I need to pee. It doesn't matter if I haven't drink anything in the last 48 hours.
Your body needs to do it.
We're
yeah. Everyone, and you develop these things, and you just get comfortable doing them.
I have one friend that needs to shit, and it's like
that. Yeah, I know a couple people like that. That's like I would feel bad for that because I'm like. Sometimes you just don't have the time, or you don't like the venue. It's like not a great situation.
What if it's
just
lottery style?
Yeah. So for me, I like to be pretty much until I go on stage. I'm like not in the show, in the showroom. I'm usually just like in the back. I usually come out a couple times just to like hear what's going on, talk to the host, be like, what crowd work's been done, like what's going on, like get a feel.
Yeah.
I like to watch the person before me, for at least some of their set, if not all
of
it.
Yeah, so you can have like
a
nice
quick
intro.
Riff. But I don't really like to sit in the showroom the whole time. I like to kind of be going over my stuff and like, cause a lot of times I'm also doing almost every set. I'm doing something new. Like I'm doing a new joke or something, or I'm working on a new tag or something. So half the time I'm like, I'm always opening usually different. Like it's a good thing and a bad thing, but a lot of times I do all the new stuff first. So I don't forget it. And then I kind of just figure out the
rest. Just gonna, but usually people like put it like in the middle. Like.
I know I should be doing that. I sometimes you get cocky, you know. Sometimes you get cocky.
After bombing for 5 minutes, yeah. Like, well.
Oh. Anyway, hey, my name is Vic Pondia. Like, let me tell you about myself. Yeah, I hate that.
I am an OnlyFans.
I do hate when people are like a little bit about me. It's like, yeah, fucking, you're up there already. We know it's about you. Who else is it gonna be about? That's so stupid. It's like a little bit about me. Let me tell you about my life. It's like, yeah, who else? We want it. You're up there. Sorry.
Wait, when I do that, it's not like a little bit about me. It's like, okay, it's time for me to overshare. Because
that's great. See, that's funny.
It's always
funny.
When it's something that is like,
do something creative like that. I always start with like a room riff. I try to like open on something that happened, the previous comic joke. I try to say something like topical.
Yeah, because people are like, oh, okay.
It immediately settles the crowd. It makes them know you're present. And then I kind of like, from that riff, sometimes it connects to another joke of mine. Lucy, I'll probably go there. But I need to get a little better about, because especially now with touring, like I'm doing so much new stuff a lot of times. Like I need to get better about being like, here's my 10, here's my 30, here's my hour. Because I'm doing like, here's my 10. When I do 10, I'm like, here's 10,
here's
eight
my
new
many
jokes.
Tens.
Yeah, like, but also it's like, here's 8 new jokes and then 2 jokes I know that work all the time. But that's not necessarily a good way to do 10 because you're like, that's going to be all over the place, you know?
But I believe you are more advanced with than me on this, but I am at that point that I have so many jokes that most of them, let's say, work fine. Some of them work amazingly, but I gotta sit down and be like, okay, let's make this a structure because I have this all over the place.
Like, here's my A material, here's my B material, and then you're like, how do I structure my 10 so it ends?
No,
and
I'll do a structure like a 30-minute set. Like, I'm going to do 20 soon in SNF, and I have done 18, and I know how to make 20, and I know kind of like the structure, but sometimes I'm like, where do I pull? Like, I have this joke that is new, that is amazing, that I love. And it's like, I don't see how it fits here.
And it's hard because if you haven't done the 20 yet, you're like, I don't know. I'm trying something for the first time for the show that I'm doing, which is also kind of nerve-wracking. Because if you're doing 30 and you've done an hour already, you're like, okay, I know I've doubled the time already. I can kind of pick and choose from that hour what I want to do. And I'm doing like anywhere, when you're headlining, you're doing anywhere from like 20 minutes to an hour.
Have you done an hour?
Yeah, I've done like some shows. There's no feature. There's just a host and you. And you're like, okay, so I do an hour then. And then they do 15 or whatever. So a lot of times when you're on the road, there's like weird stuff like that. Or conversely, it's the opposite. Maybe they're like, you just do 30 at the end. We have a showcase and you do 30. Like, don't tell. You headline that. It's usually like 30. Like, it's not. So it is like, it all varies. But that forces you to constantly be like, okay, well, then I'm taking stuff out or I'm adding stuff. So that's why during the week when I'm doing these local showcases, I'm typically working on stuff that fits into the half hour.
Exactly.
But like I said, like the
it's
last
like
2 weeks.
It's like taking a little block of it and it's like, okay, let's fix it and then put
it back.
So
like I was like, well, come and see this in the hour because that's part of this bigger chunk and that's going to fit in really well. But to the audience there, they're like, he just did like 1 minute on his dick and then it just kind of didn't really make sense. And I'm like, no, it really does if you watch the full 10. So
I like that every fucking show you have been, people end up being like, he was nice, but does he have?
So now the thing I'm starting to do is, and people will tell you this, you'll see this a lot like online, is it's much harder to do 5 minutes than it is an hour. Once you've been doing like headlining 45, because you have so much time. You can be like, oh yeah, I'll figure it out. I'll stretch here, whatever. Now you're like five, you're like, I got to get – cutting stuff is hard. You know, you're like, what do I cut? what do I get rid of, or what 5 minutes says what I want to say, when I usually have an hour to say that.
This is my take on that. Like, I believe the 5 is more difficult, because when you have 10, 20, whatever, you have, even 10 is not that much. Let's say 15.
15
for
is great. 15 is like the thing should be the standard of showcases.
You have enough time to let people know who you are.
Yeah, without coming across crazy. And also, you can then end with a joke that's probably like a little more like advanced, a little more like a longer joke. But you can't open with that for 5, because you only have 5 minutes. You got to come out quick.
Yeah, I have like a couple of jokes that are dense and are
dense is the word to put it. Yeah.
Sexual. I don't have many sexual jokes, but I have these two. But these two are longer jokes because it's a story. It's not like, I have something funny about this. It's a story that happened to me. And it's like, each one is like 2 minutes, 3 minutes.
So if you're doing 5,
I cannot do it because I cannot do one joke and then be like, let's go with this dance.
I always say too, like, you have to earn the audience's trust.
Yeah.
A comedy is like a trust building exercise with the audience. You have to be within the first, that's why doing the room riff or doing something topical at the start of the show shows the audience you're present. And so then they're like, oh, this guy or this girl or whatever is, they're here with us and they're a professional because they just took that and talked about it.
Yeah,
so now they're like, this person's good. And then they kind of settle and they're like, okay, tell us your jokes now. So you kind of see, literally I've seen audiences be like on the edge of their seat because they're like, they're kind of judging you when you go up there. They're like, let's see if this person
knows immediately.
So if you can settle them, then you have license to kind of do whatever you want.
Yeah,
so.
I believe if you open up with your opener have to, if you make it a riff and then you have a nice opener,
yeah,
that cracks the people up to the point they're like, oh, we can laugh with this one.
And then sometimes you know, you've been into shows where you just start and the first joke is like hot. So you're like, oh, now I could go into that longer joke now because they're so good. You know, if you're headlining and a lot of the audience knows who you are, or they've done research on you, you get a little more grace. The every position you move up, you get like a few more seconds of grace. The host gets no grace. The host has to earn it immediately.
Yeah.
And then the feature gets a little more because they're like, oh, this person's in the middle. They must be sometimes or somewhat better. The audience has a weird perception of they think position of the show matters, when in reality, when it's just showcase, the first comic might be the best because they have other shows to get to. So people don't realize that. They're like,
first that, and second that, I know bookers that they need a
strong
opener.
Yeah, exactly. So, and then the headliner, they're like, oh, this person's last, they must be the best. But that's also not always the case, unless you're like, again, selling tickets to the show or whatever. But whatever the case is, you get a little more build, like a time built in before you have to just deliver. So you can kind of fuck around a little bit. You can talk some shit. You can riff. You don't need to come out and be like, joke, like immediately. I feel like when you're hosting, it's like, joke. It's immediate.
I love when you get a riff from the previous comic or the host and it lands super well. And you're like, yes. Do you know, like, I crap them up. Like, last time I did it, it was like on prime time.
Mm.
The host was like, okay, let's just for me. She was like, okay, let's, you know what? Let's do a slow clap. You know, like, bah,
yeah.
Bah, bah,
yeah,
bah, yeah. Your next comic, bah, bah, bah. I went in. I was like, I like that she did the slow clap for me. That is the Venezuelan. I believe she did it because she's like, let's do a slow clap. So
slow
he understands.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
That's funny. That's great.
That was a nice opener.
Yeah.
And then I killed that scene.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Okay,
that's perfect.
This is the last question of the podcast. The joke that, for me, is dense, is like, I need to buy them into this story,
sure,
because it's fucked up. I'm just gonna tell you what it is about. Is me in a wet dream fucking a flower.
This is so much going on.
Exactly. So,
but yeah, to your point, you can't open with that. You can't open on the wet dream flower fucking joke.
But hey, my name is Christian Handyman. Have you ever fuck a flower? So what is your dance joke that you're like, I need time. Like, you don't have to tell the joke. Just
Oh, that's good. So I have a joke that I really like that I do towards the top of my set, but it is something I can't open with.
Okay.
I basically talk about how, like, on an airplane, you know, you become very classist on an airplane.
Okay.
Because you're like, I have priority boarding, I have first class, I have this, I have that. You have all these different statuses, right? So the joke is, like, it starts with something kind of light like that. You talk about, like, oh, it's funny to, like, cut somebody, or it's funny to, you know, but then the end of it is, like, a capitalism joke. Okay. So it's like, does that make it's like pretty? It's pretty dense when
you
think
can do
about
that
it.
At a Trump rally.
I don't know if I could have, but it's like one of those things where, like, I love the joke, but I have to do two other kind of more like easy airplane type jokes to get into that one. because that's the one I really want to do. But I have to kind of do some dumb.
Yeah, because people is like, so you're a fucking classist?
Yeah, it's one of those things I have to establish I'm doing jokes because it is like me punching down a lot in the joke, which most of my comedy is, by the way, punching down. I don't, this thing of like, oh, you got to punch up. No,
I have to pay him to be here.
Yeah, exactly. Like, do you think he puts those out for everybody? That's in my fucking writer. I want stale croissants when I go on a podcast.
that's on your writer.
I want three-day-old basement croissants. That's what I want for that.
I'm not going to eat it. I just want them to be there.
They do look like they're for show. They really looks like a, you know, like a fruit bowl with fake fruit. That's what that is. That's the equivalent of the
They're pretty good.
They're actually good.
No, the thing is, like, I'm going to end the episode with this statement. It's from a bakery, and these ones, we call it in Venezuela for some reason, pasta seca. That it means dry pasta. Mm. But these are, like, really, these are from Ecuador, but
they're good.
But I believe in United States you don't have cookies like this. So like
it's nice. It's like
dry.
A dry, but it's good.
But it's good.
It has a lot of flavor, even though it's dry. And I like the texture because it is different.
So thanks to his writer and to his producer for bringing this. And with that, we're gonna end the episode. So adiós. You gotta say adiós in Spanish.
Adiós.